ladies here, Wednesday afternoon, special Elul series. Today is going to be a synopsis, Bezus Hashem, of Shar HaBechina. Sunday will be of Shar Avodas Elokim, or maybe Shar Yichud HaMaisa. And the following, and next Wednesday will be Shar Yichud, next week, Sunday is a Shar Avodas Elokim, and next Wednesday is Shar Yichud HaMaisa. Today is Shar HaBechina. It is Wednesday, Aleph Elul, Rosh Chodesh. Okay, we're starting now.
So, we're going to see how this works. This is Noel, who's responsible for this. Okay, so today, hopefully, we'll go through the basic ideas of Shar HaBechina, and we've learned it, so this will be a summary for those who've learned it, but it's really the principles and the ideas and what it means and why is it so important and what's the big deal and what are we supposed to do and how important is it to do Bechina. Well, we'll see. Bezus Hashem. The fundamental principle of the Sefer Cholos Halvavos is that as essential as Cholos HaEvarim are, Cholos HaEvarim means I have to do this, and I have to bench licht, and I have to take challah, and I have to daven, and I have to... I'm not allowed to eat something not kosher, and I have to eat matzah on Pesach. This is all Cholos HaEvarim. Things that we do, things that are begoli, things that are open and apparent and seen, and it's actions. As essential as they are, and Chavos HaLavos spends a lot of time in Shar Avodas Elokim talking about why it's essential. Well, what do you mean why it's essential? That's Torah. No, because of the second half of my sentence, you'll then understand why he has to spend so much time explaining the essentiality of Cholos HaEvarim. Because the second half of the sentence is that as essential as it is, and history and logic shows that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, or if Chas V'Shalom you do what you're not supposed to do, then even if you have a wonderful heart and you love Hashem, it doesn't last. It's ephemeral. It just dissipates. It dissipates by you, and it dissipates by the children, certainly by the grandchildren. It's not a solid thing. But having said that, the real action, the real avodas Hashem, is b'leiv, not be'evarim. The evarim are essential. Again, he explains why. But it's their worth. Their real worth is how much lev you pour into it. And that's why he wrote the Sefer. And I'll explain what that means. But and then Chavos HaLavos says in his Hagadama to the whole Sefer, that's why he wrote the Sefer, because he saw that it's so important, and that's really what it's all about. And he brings down so many psukim that what Hashem wants is we should be into Hashem, and we should be close to Hashem, and we should change and become different people and more spiritual people and feel closer to Hashem because of the things we do and because of the Cholos HaLavos. So he wrote the Sefer because nobody else was doing it. So he said, I have to write the Sefer. And it's known as the Shulchan Aruch. The Cholos HaLavos has become known over the generations as the Shulchan Aruch of the Cholos HaLavos. Right? The Shulchan Aruch of mitzvahs that are not reflected in actions, but it's reflected in heart. Now, this is not as easy. It's very hard, because as the Chavos HaLavos explains in his Hagdoma, no one's watching and no one knows what you're thinking, and it's very easy to do the rituals of Judaism. All right, it's not easy, but it's really harder to be touched by them. And he says any mitzvah we do without the pouring in our lathe, without figuring out how does this make me closer to Hashem, in what way does this make me closer to Hashem, do I feel closer to Hashem? I'm so frum, I fast every Yom Kippur, I don't know, all I get out of it is a migraine and I'm tired and I'm upset and I don't know, I don't really feel, you know, and I sat in the sukkah or I ate the matzah or I was mafresh challah, you know, and my mezuzah, I have a mezuzah on my door, I'm a frum person. And he says, you know, but that's not what it's about. It's about how much is your lave connected and bonded to Hashem. And that's why he wrote the Sefer. And his famous phrase is that if you go do the rituals of Yiddishkeit, and you're wonderful, 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 you do everything, and you don't do what you're not supposed to do, but you're not, there's no lave there, there's no closeness to Hashem, there's no bonding with Hashem, it's a guf b'lein neshama. That's what he calls it. The mitzvahs without lave is a guf b'lein neshama. Like a life, it's a, you know, we know what a guf b'lein neshama means. And therefore, he wrote the Sefer to teach us, when we take challah, when we eat matzah, when we have a mezuzah, what are we supposed to, every mitzvah is, how does this bring me closer to Hashem? Because that's what it's all about. So that's the Sefer in general, the whole Sefer, Chovos HaLevavos it's called. Torah, actually the technical name is Toras Chovos HaLevavos. Okay, now the setup for this, it's built like a building. The Sefer is built as a very very specific structure with a foundation and a first floor and it's a ladder. Think of it as a ladder or a building and you want to get to the top floor. Shar HaBechina, which is today's subject, Bechina means to examine. Like sometimes we have a Bechina, it's an examination. But it means to examine or to reflect upon blank. And we'll see about what am I supposed to reflect about. What am I supposed to examine? But what we're accomplishing, what Shara Bechina is teaching us, is to reflect and to examine how we see Hashem in the Bria. Now, what does the Bria mean? So he will, and we'll go through it, he will list seven disciplines that he suggests a person delve into and study to see Hashem. So this is like, if the foundation, we want to be close to Hashem, we want to develop our lave, that we bond with Hashem as we do His mitzvahs, and we understand how that makes us more spiritual people and how that brings us closest to Hashem. But the foundation of it all is Shar HaYichud, that's the first Shar in the Sefer, which you can listen online, we gave two shiurim. It's a bit heavy, a bit philosophical, but that talks about that Hashem is real, Hashem exists, Hashem is one, Hashem is unique, Hashem is everything, everything is Hashem, and so on and so forth. Without that, can't get started. But second, and this right away is an amazing, amazing insight. Just the very fact that he put Shar HaBechina second. Shar HaBechina is to see Hashem in things, to see Hashem in the events of our lives, to see Hashem in Torah, to appreciate that Hashem gave us the Torah. People could, you know, unfortunately, it's like a sad joke, you know, people can do mitzvahs, and even men, you know, men can learn the whole Hilchos Sukkah, the whole Hilchos Talad Minim, the whole Hilchos Shabbos, and never once think about Hashem. Never have any connection to Hashem. That's not good. Because I love this whole, that's Guf B'lein Neshama. Say, well, okay, now I finished Hilchos Shabbos, I learned it for 3 years. I learned Hilchos Shabbos for 3 years, and again, you have to learn Hilchos Shabbos. You know, nobody wants to be Mechal Shabbos. But what is Shabbos? How does Shabbos connect me to Hashem? You know, I never thought about it. Hashem made the world. Kishesh Yisyomim Asa Hashem Asa Shemayim Asa Oretz. or I always say maybe it teaches me bitachon, that's the Parshas Hamon angle of Shabbos, or maybe it teaches me about Yitzias Mitzrayim, that's in Parshas Vayeschanan and the Aseres Hadibros, there's that angle of Shabbos. We're not slaves, we rest, we're not slaves to our work, you know. Hey, and I never thought about that. I was so busy learning Hilchos Shabbos, I never thought about Hashem. So Shaar HaBechina, which is obviously, you know, everybody understands why Shaar HaYichud is first. If you don't believe in Hashem and you don't think Hashem Echad and you don't realize that Hashem is everything, so then, you know, you're in the wrong religion. But Shaar HaBechina, and the Chavis Halodos holds this is so important, and he says, he says, Shaar HaBechina is Shaar HaYichud for dummies. He doesn't use those words exactly. I'm paraphrasing. You know, we'll make a big yellow edition of Shaar of Chavis Halodos, and we'll call it Shaar HaYichud for dummies. He says, you know, Shaar HaYichud is heavy. It's heavy, and who? Shaar HaBechina is for your average Joe, your average Jane. And he says, to see Hashem, and you will, you walk in the street, or you think about events, and if you train yourself, that's what Shaar HaBechina trains us, to train ourselves, to see Hashem, to see His wisdom, His intelligence, His planning. So you're seeing Hashem, you're seeing that there's a Borei Olam. You don't need the, you're not going to be into the philosophical, theological, heavy duty proofs of Shaar HaYichud. You're experiencing Hashem. Shaar HaBechina is Shaar HaYichud for dummies. Experience Hashem. Forget the philosophy, it's too hard, it's not for the average person. He says this. I'm writing Shaar HaBechina because I'm going to train you to examine everything. We're going to go through the seven things that you should be examining. To examine everything in the Bria, everything that exists, every event that occurs, to see that Hashem is orchestrating it, to see Hashem's wisdom in it. Sometimes, if it's a thing, so if you study about it, you can see Hashem's wisdom and intelligence and planning and design and purpose. Events is a little harder. Sometimes it takes years, sometimes decades, sometimes generations to look back and realize. That's why I believe when the Chavis HaLodos says seven things we should reflect upon and think about and examine, he does not list history as one of the seven things. Although history is definitely, I mean, you know, we're zochet to live in Eretz Yisrael, and you know, you look at the last 150 years, how could you not see Hashem in the events? But he doesn't, it was always a source of wonder to me why he doesn't list history. Although he talks a little about it in Shaar HaBechina, he says one of the outstanding proofs of Hashem's existence is the existence and the survival of the Jewish people. Right, that's everybody, it's a famous Yaivitz, but really the Chavis HaLodos said it first. He says it. But he doesn't count it as one of the things. Now, books have been written. I told you there's a book, The Hidden Hand, by Jacob, or I forget his first name, Aster. And then he wrote another book, The Hidden Hand of the Holocaust. And you know, to see Hashgachas Hashem in the flow of history, he doesn't list it. Why? I think he doesn't list it because it's not something you can walk outside and do. Right, it takes time. Sometimes you don't see it for decades, for years. But we're supposed to do it with our own lives also. You know, you look back and you say, how did I get from being, you know, from being a fetus to where I am now? And it's amazing. I met this person and I had this teacher and I had this friend and I bumped into this person and I got this job and I met my spouse and I mean, the point is to see Hashem and to recognize. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't talk about history. He doesn't even talk about a person's life. His seven things, we'll see. But the purpose of Shaar HaBechina is that we should see Hashem in things in the world. We should see Hashem, and we experience Hashem, and we're aware of Hashem, and it's, as I said, Shar HaYichud for Dummies. And, okay, that's the first aspect of Shar HaBechina. Train yourself to look, don't just go through life assuming, you know, feeling entitled to everything, feeling entitled to breathe and entitled to eat and entitled to digest food and entitled to have children and entitled to live and entitled to have a parnosa and to have relationships and that there's gravity. Wow, look what Hashem did. And study it. He wants you to study it. Nowadays, I have to say, you probably have a lot of computers in your house, I'm sure. We have been zocha to an explosion of knowledge in the last 100 years. That's probably more knowledge has now become part of the human body of knowledge more than centuries and centuries up until now. As clever as much as the Chavis HaLovis talks about all the scientific things that he talks about in Perek Dalet, but it doesn't hold a candle to what a kid can do today just by clicking on Google and just Googling, you know, how does a person breathe? And you can spend the next year studying the flows Hashem, all the amazing, and you see Hashem, you see everything fits, and everything works, and everything is planned, and everything has foresight and cunning and planning, and so you see Hashem. That's the first aspect of Shar HaBechina, and you have to do this. This is as important as. It's second. This is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But you're not going to go. Okay, you're not going. Then you're going to so that's seeing Hashem, seeing His wisdom, recognizing His as the Creator, seeing His planning. Morabu Masecha Hashem, Magadlu Masecha Hashem. Study it. This is the foundation of everything we do. It's from here that we move on to other things, to Avos Hashem, to Yiras Hashem, to Avodas Hashem, to Bitochon. But this is the basic. This is as basic as Shar HaYichud. That's what he writes. This is the Shar HaYichud for the average person. And number two is you see how Hashem cares for us. Tov Hashem Lakol, Rachamov Al Kol Ma'asov. It works. The world works. Right, there's something called, there's something called the anthropic principle. Right? If you Google the anthropic principle, it's unbelievable how finely tuned the world is in order for it to work, in order for us to be able to breathe, in order for there to be an atmosphere, in order for the fetus to survive, in order for the soil to grow. The soil, magic. Soil can take inorganic matter and turn it into organic matter. Unbelievable. So you see Chesed Hashem. You see Hashem's love for mankind. Hashem wants it to work. He wants the world to work. And you see that as you study these things, you say, wow, it's so finely tuned for the benefit of mankind. Color, taste, atmosphere, soil, gravity. The time, and Shar HaBechina trains us to say, hey, you know, look at all these things that there are. There's memory, and he says, you know, without memory, wow, you know, we couldn't walk outside, we would forget where we were going. And Baruch Hashem, we forget things, because if not for forgetting things, we would be reliving our embarrassing moments, we would be reliving them our whole lives. If we have a tragedy, we would be reliving our avelos, our whole lives. We'd never forget. Forgetfulness is a gift. Memory is a gift. The ability to be embarrassed, he says, is a gift. He says, most people don't do bad things because they're embarrassed or get caught. It's a gift. If not for embarrassment, who knows what we would do, and then there would be no breaks. It's a tremendous break on our day. Moving back again, so the point of the Bechina is A, to see Hashem, Shar HaYichud for Dummies, B, to feel Hashem's love and kindness. As it says, Tov Hashem l'kol v'rachamo l'kol ma'asov. This will, and to see it, you know, you see it, you experience it, and you feel it. We're talking about chayvus halavavos, right? We're not talking about going through any emotions. You're not going to make anybody happy if you read a biology textbook and then you just toss it away, and that's it. You have to say, wow, look at this enormously complicated machine that works, and it turns food into energy, and it tastes good, and it looks good, and there's so many different kinds of foods. And it's done, chayav adam lomar b'shkinei nivra olam. So you develop, and that will develop an attitude, excuse the expression, an attitude of gratitude. That will start to make you feel thankful for things you never thought about. Remember, we learned about a nose, right? And you say to someone, did you thank Hashem for your nose? And they'll giggle. But the nose is an amazing instrument. That it smells, and it warns you when something has bacteria in it, it's spoiled. It warns you if something is not the way it should be. It's a breathing that you breathe through your nose. Right? It's an aid in breathing, and it's just so you. But gratitude, I'm going to talk about when we talk about Shara Avodas Elokim, because that's. Shifts us into the next sha'ar. But how do you get this gratitude? Because you did Bechina. You did Bechina, which made you aware of Hashem, Shar HaYichud style, and you became aware of Hashem's love and chesed and kindness for the human race, for this world. So that's what Bechina means, and that's what it's supposed to accomplish. Now, the Chavis Aldova says there are three reasons why people don't naturally, why you have to work at this. Everything's work. There's no freebies. I mean, you come to such a geshmaka class, and it's even air conditioned, and you sit back and you listen to me darshan. But it's all nothing. It's meaningless. You walk out of here and, you have to do it. Everybody has a chiv to do it. We'll learn about his. He devotes a parak to saying that you're mechuyev to do it. This is an obligation of a Jew because it's so fundamental. So he says there's three reasons why it doesn't come naturally and why you have to work on it. Number one is because people are busy. Hey, how do you know? People are busy. They're busy, they're preoccupied with whatever they're doing and they don't have time to think. And every time there's a new invention, they think we're going to save time. It just makes us busier. And we've learned that. Right, I'm taking away your washing machines. It just makes you busier. The first reason is we're busy and we don't think about things. So we go through life. And he says like as an aside almost, part of the reason we're so busy is because we're focused on things that we don't have, and we want more and more toys, we want more and more things, and we're busy acquiring things that we want. Maybe we see it by someone else, maybe we know it exists, maybe we just want to have the more pleasure. So we're always busy, we're always on that treadmill. Halavai, we should be on the treadmill. We're always on that treadmill and we're always chasing things, and we don't have time to stop and think. That's the first reason why he has to slow us down and write Shar HaBechina and train us to think. Now, don't just walk outside because I'm running to the Makolas to get a container of milk. Stop and think how that milk got there and how many people were involved and how Hashem made a machine that turns grass into milk. If someone would invent a machine that turns grass into milk, I think he'd become a millionaire overnight. Hashem made. What does an animal do? An animal eats grass, and it turns, and we take the milk. I mean, a person also does that. You don't buy in the store, but that's amazing. That's a nace. With milk, and then it's the perfect food. Everything's amazing. That's what you learn to examine things. How much time should you spend a day in examining things? I don't know, we're going to learn soon. Chavis Halava says it's an obligation. What's so terrible? We waste plenty of time. Maybe you don't. Okay. I just spend 15, 20 minutes a day just looking into something, and then you walk away saying, wow, that's unbelievable. It's so complex, it's so complicated, it's so many, so subtle, so many different moving parts, so many things have to work together in unison to make the whole system work. So number one is we don't think because we're busy, and part of the reason we're busy is because we're always chasing. We want too many things. We just want more things, want more playthings. That's number one. So when you're busy with your children, you don't have time to stop and thank Hashem that you have children. You're just caught up in trying to put them to bed and doing the laundry and feeding them. Right? Meanwhile, the lady next door doesn't have children. Wow. You know, so we're busy and we don't think. That's number one. Reason number two, he says, is because we're born without brains, without seichel, and then things come to us and we get used to them, and then we end up taking everything for granted or feeling entitled to everything because we've been experiencing eating and digestion and breathing and having clothing and having shelter, and you know, we've been experiencing it our whole lives, and we have like a 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 year buildup of just assuming it's going to be there when we open the refrigerator. We're assuming that we can breathe, assuming that we can eat, assuming that we can think, assuming that we can walk, assuming that when I command my hand to pick up something, again. So sometimes we're jarred into reality. You see a Chas v'Shalom, a paralyzed person. So we say, wow, even then we don't think. But we should. The Gemilas Atzal says, maybe one of the reasons people are like that is to be a vehicle for other people's avodas Hashem, to make you stop and think, and all of a sudden realize that it's not simple that you think and that you can tell your hand what to do. Not pashuk. It's not a given. So that's number two. Number two is because we grow up having these things before our seichel is developed, so we become used to it and we take it for granted and we even feel entitled to it. Then we get angry if we don't have it. So that's reason number two why we have to be trained to say, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. Hashem made it this way. It works, but it's a gift. Everything's a gift from Hashem. Everything, every move we make is a gift. So reason number one why you have to work at Bechina is because we're busy and we don't have time to think. And unfortunately we're busy with accumulating things and getting things. That's why it was the never ending. We're always running. Reason number two is that you have to work on Bechina is because we grow up and we take things for granted and we feel entitled to them. He gives a beautiful mashal that a person finds a child in the wilderness and he takes him in, and from when the child was a baby he feeds him and he gives him clothing and he sends him to school and he provides him with everything, and you know, he's grateful, he understands what happened, but that's one level. Then the same person took a grown man who was in prison and was a prisoner and didn't have anything, and he redeemed him from prison and he took him, but he didn't bring him into the house. Chagatalova says he made a room for him in the barn and he didn't give him the best of foods and he didn't pay for his college education, but he paid off all his debts and he gives him food to survive and he gives him a shelter. So who's more thankful? He says, unfortunately, the prisoner, the former prisoner, is going to be more thankful. And the child that grew up in this house, he's going to feel less thankful, even though he has it better. but he got used to everything. He grew up expecting everything he has. So that's us. That's us. That's where we're the child that grew up, and we are showered with things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we take it for granted. So we don't feel that sense of thankfulness that we should. So that's number two. Number three is because there are misfortunes that happen in the world. Sometimes even tragedies. Life is bumpy. Life has a lot of... So we are angry, right? We have tainus, and we say, what do you mean, Tov Hashem Lakol? Look what he did to me. And we forget that, you know, we're breathing and we're eating and our kidneys are functioning and there's gravity and everything is still working. So, but everybody has this in their lives. Maybe we always think the other person doesn't, but everybody does. And that blocks us from realizing the tova of Hashem, that Hashem is tov. And they don't understand that even what they perceive to be problems is also tov. And sometimes I have to work at that also. But that's another block to looking at the world and appreciating how Hashem is giving us all these things. So those are the three reasons why he wrote Shar HaBechina, meaning why it doesn't come naturally. These are the three reasons why, you know, because you would think, why doesn't it come naturally? It's such a chiddush, and all these great things are happening. In Perek Beis, so that's why he's writing the Shar, to train us, to teach us that we have to work at it. In Perek Beis, he talks about the obligation to do it, and he brings down psukim and gemaras and chazal. Suvei neichem amorom. I won't go through the psukim. I won't go through the chazal. But in Perek Beis, he stresses that this is, we're talking obligation. We're not talking about mitzvos chasidus. We're not talking about a frumkeit. We're not talking about to be one of the tzaddikim. We're not talking about to become Pollyanna. We're talking about an obligation, because this is fundamental. It's so fundamental, I'll say it again, it's so fundamental that it's Sha'ar number two. After Sha'ar HaYichud, just being aware that Hashem is, you have to learn to walk around and see Hashem and say, wow, someone's giving this to me. Someone's giving this to me. Yeah, that just is. Someone's giving me everything, the sky, my family, where I'm living, food, drink, everything. Someone's giving me everything. So we have to sensitize ourselves and heighten our consciousness, and we're obligated to do it. And we'll see when we talk about Shar Avodas Elokim how this morphs into the basic attitude of a person towards Hashem, which is gratitude, which can only come if you did if you do Shara Bechina properly. Otherwise, you'll pay lip service, but you're not really going to feel. You're not going to feel that grateful. You're not going to feel indebted to Hashem for everything. Rolls off the tongue, but wow, bountiful secha. The Tovo Secha Shebechol Ace. Every moment there's Niflos and Tovos happening. So that obligation he talks about in Perek Beis. Perek Dalet, he goes through seven disciplines that you should do this to. And ladies, take notes. I mean, I don't know, take those, don't take notes, but this is the seven areas. And I tell you, and he even leaves out some. Which I told you my speculation why he leaves out history. But that's not easy to do. That you have to. Okay? Sometimes, in retrospect, you understand why you had this had to happen to you, why you had to move there, why you weren't taken into the school, why your kid wasn't taken into the school, why you ended up living here, why you ended up there. Number one is physics, I'm using modern day words. He describes it differently, obviously. Number one is physics, chemistry. Study it. I mean, we know so much more than he did. And he said it's unbelievable. Just anything about the world, it's so finely tuned. And it's like Harorim Hatluyim Basaira. It's like mountains that are resting upon a hair. So, gravity, I mean, all the laws of physics, the laws of physics, the laws of chemistry, we call them the laws of, and it's Hashem. Hashem, and it's so complex, like whatever we learned in eighth grade or high school, or maybe even college. First of all, by now, there's 10 times more, 100 times more that they know. And it's so, and it's at our fingertips, really, Hashem, it's at our fingertips. You can spend your whole life studying an ant. A-N-T. You spend your whole life. People do spend their whole life studying ants. Ants. I picked a bad example of that. But everything's enormously complex. Number one is physics and chemistry and their laws, so-called laws. Number two is interesting. Mankind. The idea that there are people in the world. And they develop the world. They build highways. They build bridges. They invent. Because Allah this holds and says, and well, an invention is not coming from a person. Hashem decided that at this point in history, someone's going to think of electricity. Someone's going to. It's all orchestrated by Hashem. How well, this is maybe history would be under number two, but he calls it mankind. The study of mankind and seeing how the world developed. How mankind was given the opportunity and the seichel and the ability, an animal would not develop the world. A cow can sit there munching contentedly on its grass and is happy, it doesn't have to look for an apartment. Happy, the cow's happy. If a cow falls down, he can't get up. That's the concern of the cow. That's the downside of being a cow. The downside is you can't get up. There are kids, like the teenagers, used to go around tipping over cows, and then the cows can't get up. They don't have the ability to get up. Their bone structure does not allow them to get up. So, mankind and how mankind develops the world. Study it. Study it. He wants you to study it. Number three is biology, and that's what he spends the whole parak d'aleph on. He talks about biology. Anything you pick is just so fine and so mesudar and so perfect and so complex and so everything. The science does not believe in Hashem. We just walk away, and which is the point of Shara Bechina, the first point. Anyway, number three is biology. Number four is the study of animals. Number five is the study of plant life, trees and things that grow. Number six is skills and crafts. Needle point. Anything, any skill or craft. That's Hashem. Study it. Look how many things there are that you can do, that you can... Hashem gave chokhmah, and Hashem that you could develop things around you and make new things. And number seven is Torah, because really, the Rambam reflects the Chayvus Halvavos in saying that the way to develop a love for Hashem is by studying nature, as the Rambam says in the Chazakah, but Chazal say, and the Rambam says it in his Sefer HaMitzvos, that the way to develop a love for Hashem and to see Hashem in all His glory, so to speak, is by learning Torah. And when you learn Torah, you go, wow, this is not man-made, this is special, this is so all-encompassing, like the whole world is included in what I'm learning. It just covers everything and it talks about everything, and there's no stone left unturned, and it's so perfect and it's so wise. And it's exactly the way things should be. So that's number seven. So you have physics and chemistry is number one. Mankind and how mankind developed the world is number two. The biology of man is number three. Animals is four. Plant life is five. skills and crafts, technology is a number 6, and 7 is Torah. And he also, by the by, talks about people's traits and characteristics, as I mentioned, busha, being embarrassed, and memory and forgetfulness, and all the midos, rachmonos, that's a God-given gift, that I feel rachmonos on someone, I pity someone, I care about someone. These things do not happen by themselves. Everything is a gift from Hashem. So, okay, that's... That's basically the shahr. Someone suggested I should just talk a little. I'm talking to women, so I'll talk a little, just a little. It's almost embarrassing, like a tipa shabiyam. A tipa shabiyam of how does a baby breathe in the womb? So, blood is pumped by the baby's heart through the umbilical cord, arteries to the placenta, where oxygen is extracted from the mother's blood as it passes by the placenta. Her blood and the fetal blood system are separate. It's only oxygen that passes from maternal blood vessels to placental blood vessels by a process called diffusion. The umbilical cord vein delivers oxygenated blood to the fetus's heart, where it's pumped to the rest of the body of the fetus. In the womb, the fetus's lungs are filled with fluid because they're not used for breathing. They're just developing. They're getting ready for the baby's first breath after birth. Other organs, such as the heart and kidneys, function in the womb. The lungs don't start working until after birth, and they develop. Okay. The baby gets its food, as well as oxygen and water, from the mother's bloodstream. The baby's waste products are disposed of in the mother's bloodstream as well. And then there's a description of how everything works. When the baby is born, all of a sudden it's dependent on its own efforts for life. It has to begin breathing through its mouth and use its lungs. It has to alter its It has to alter its circulatory system so that the blood is pumped to the lungs instead of to the placenta. It has to obtain its own food, eliminate the waste of its own digestive system, maintain its own fluid and electrolyte balance, its own body temperature. All of a sudden it must manufacture its own immunoglobulins and mobilize its defense mechanisms to counter any infection. Now, no one taught the baby to do this. It starts working as soon as you're born. One of the most well-known and well-documented changes that, and this is what we say, Asher Yotzak. Means this. One of the most well-known and well-documented changes that must take place in the child is the actual structure of the heart. Every person's heart is in reality 2 separate pumps. The right side of the heart pumps blood to the lungs, where it takes up oxygen. This oxygenated blood is taken back to the left side of the heart, where it's pumped to the rest of the body. As can be imagined, the pressure required at the left side of the heart, which has to pump the blood through 76,000 miles of blood vessels, is high, much higher than the pressure in the right side, which only has to pump the blood the short distance to the lungs. This difference in pressure is maintained by keeping the 2 sides of the heart separate, divided by a partition. If there would be any hole or perforation between the two, the pressure would be equalized with very terrible results, Chas v'Shalom. Before it's born, the baby receives oxygenated blood via the placenta from its mother, and there's no need for the heart to pump blood to the lungs for its oxygen. The pressure in the 2 sides of its heart can be equal, and they are equal when it's a fetus. This equality is possible because of the small vessel which joins the 2 sides. Immediately after birth, this vessel disappears. It disappears. This vessel that maintains the pressure the same in both parts. it does, it disappears. But how it does remains a mystery. He quotes, the mechanism responsible for the obliteration of the ductus artesorius, that's the name of that vessel, like that of the expansion of the lungs, is incompletely understood. Something tells this little vessel to destroy itself, and it obeys. Within minutes, it has closed, and soon afterwards, it disappears completely. And now the pressure is different, as explained. So, that's just not even a tipush of a yarn, it's a joke. Anyway, that's Shara HaBechina. I hope you gained something out of the class.
Thank you very much.
The obligation to do it, and it's not a waste of time. The Chagas Halvados hold this is of vital importance to develop awareness that Hashem is everywhere, to see Hashem everywhere, to appreciate Hashem's wisdom and chesed. That's the koteret of the Sha'ar, is seeing Hashem's wisdom and chesed. And I think that's what we called it in the ayat. Yeah, is that what we called it? Seeing Hashem's wisdom and chesed. Okay.